Okay, thank you, clerk. All right, sticking with ONCA 2408. Let's talk about on page 3, child support. And if I'm not mistaken, this, of course, is non-tribal dollars, and this funding was underappropriated by $40,430. Because we, as you guys know, project how much we'll receive. And so this request will help shore up the award for a total of $1,150,282. And so that's what this request will do. Does the committee have any questions? The next is the DHS stabilization dollars that we receive for Fairfax. Again, we receive these throughout the year. This amount is, the amount requested was for $211,500. The funding that has been awarded is coming five different checks, of course, to Fairfax. The wraparound Pawhuska, Hominy, and Skytook. I'm hearing a background noise. Okay. Well, we've received the $49,500 for the Fairfax. And the next one is Hominy, same thing. These are the stabilization dollars that we've received. We received $40,500 for Hominy as well. For Pawhuska, we received $36,000. And then Skytook received $49,500. And the last, Fairfax, received $36,000. Any questions? Second speaker.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick question. So when we met earlier this week, it was noted that this is round, if I'm reading my own handwriting correctly, round 9 of the stabilization grant. So how many rounds are there?
Rebecca, do you remember? Or I'm sorry, Teresa, are you on the call? Or Tara, I'm sorry.
This is Tara. Good afternoon. This is cycle 9, and from my understanding, this will be the last cycle.
Okay, that's what I was thinking too. Those have been really helpful dollars, I feel like.
Yes, they have.
Okay, any other questions, committee? Okay, hearing none, the next then is EPA GAP, which is section 11. And this is regular funding for the department that was under projected during CEJO by $155,000. So we are shoring that up with this bill. The next, unless anybody has any questions. We've sure had that grant a long time, those federal dollars for EPA grant. The next is the Gray Horse Lagoon, and this is for $826,478. And again, these are tribal dollars. Now, is this separate? I'm sorry. It's non-tribal revenue, and this is the one that I said came from the it's the sanitation facilities construction program that IHS is responsible for, the delivery of environmental engineering services. I think it came from IHS. And the funding received for this project must be utilized for the construction of wastewater treatment for the homes in Gray Horse. It's It's not tribal dollars, it's non-tribal. No, ma'am, it's IHS dollars. Any questions? Okay, it looks like there's an agreement as well, MOA with IHS on this. This was signed back in March. The agreement was signed in March, and we're just now getting this part taken care of. All right, the next is Higher Pathways for $3,000. This is under Education Department. This helps fund the annual college application week. It's one-time funding. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Moving on then to HUD-VASH for $314,904. Of course, everyone knows this is under housing. The funding during CJO, the projection was over projected by $52,836. Since then, it looks like they've received their actual amount. And so I don't know who uses the word shore up, but I like it. So it's been shored up to reflect it in the total budget. Like that's Miss Amanda Wilkins. That's the word shore. Okay. The next, any questions? Not, we'll go to the orphaned well plugging development. This is section 24A. This is for $1 million. And it looks as though there's some IDC. $193,288, which we have not received any budget, so you're not going to see that IDC side. We've talked to the treasurer about that. The rest of it, the $806,712, is coming out of professional fees. I think this info was sent to us at the end of CJO, and we ran out of time. We ran out of committee meeting time and time in general as far as CJO goes, but the Office of Self-Governance had sent this down, and we had said we're just going to have to wait. But this will be, it looks like it's going to be operated under DNR, and the Orphaned Well Program Development Grant will be used to hire contractors to develop a remediation plan for properties owned by the nation or Osage tribal members that have orphaned wells present. The remediation plans will include details on the number of orphaned wells on the property and environmental damage caused by those wells, along with estimated costs to restore the land. The contractors will inspect the property in greater detail by using aerial photos and on-the-ground surveys for potential environmental impairment, and the approximated boundaries of the contaminated areas will be mapped. And then the data gathered will help be used to prioritize areas with the greatest environmental risk that will be remediated with the Orphan Well Implementation Grant Funds. This project on this million is for 2 years. It looks like from October 1st, 2023 till September 30, 2025. Any questions? Okay.
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about the $1 million.
Right. And basically, I just want to talk about the program, the grant program in general. The name of it is the Orphan Well Plugging Implementation Program. I believe that has to do with the Minerals Estate. I believe that our Constitution clearly gives the Minerals Council the administrative authority over the minerals estate. So I'm curious to know where this transfer of this orphan well program has happened to be seated in the executive now instead of with the minerals estate. It's a big concern of mine because as shareholders, there are elected officials that are supposed to see to the business of the estate, not the executive branch. So I'm trying to figure out why it is as it is. I know that this grant was applied for by our Minerals Council as well. They have been doing the orphan well program and administrating it. I know that they use some administrative services from the executive branch to help them, as it should be. But to me, it seems like they've been cut out of they've been denied access to the grant funds because the nation overrode them with their grant application. So I'm just curious to know how this body feels about that, because as a shareholder and a constituent, I don't feel good about it.
Committee, so Candy, I'll let you respond. Do you, so just remember, we have the other part of this is the $18 million. And so just so we're looking at this in totality. Candy, you can answer.
Okay. When this grant came out last year in March, their attorney, Riley Wilson, the OMC attorney, Riley Wilson, called me and asked if we could do a joint application with the minerals and the nation. And we've been talking about this all the way up till 10 days before the application was due. And I went to the Minerals Council and asked for a resolution for the grant application, because that's what we do when we're doing administration for them. And they unanimously disagreed and decided to submit their own application. And they weren't the eligible entity by law. They were denied the grant because they were not the tribal government, the federal government listed in the register. And so they have a letter to that effect. We've been awarded this well plugging, and as Maria has said, they've been doing some well plugging that's been coming through my self-governance office because it was an allocation from U.S. Congress. And Chief intends to try to do an MOA with them. He's talked with Chairman Waller and give them some of the responsibilities of the grant. The remediation and restoration is a big part of that $18 million that can be used to restore and remediate areas on the ranch for feeder trust and other things besides plugging the orphan wells, and the budget's kind of divided up that way. So we intend to try to have an MOA with Minerals Council, and they will have a part in the well plugging.
Okay. Questions, committee? Speaker, and then Congresswoman Lemon.
So I don't disagree. I don't disagree with Maria. And I hope that you all, executive, works towards an MOA with the Minerals Council. Here is where I struggle, and this is a hard thing. I don't want to turn that money away, because environmentally, we need to take care of our boundaries. But I have a lot of questions. What's the policy and procedure? Where are you starting first? Starting with nation land, restricted land? And if you don't have those policy and procedures to tell us right now, then you're asking us to vote blindfolded. I mean, those are my questions. How is this going to roll out? Where is, if you open it up to restricted landowners, what's the process? Do the one well? Where are you starting? So those are some of my questions. But again, I'll have an answer for where I agree with Maria that this is a minerals council area. I'm a shareholder. I'm a restricted landowner. And I want to make sure that the people that I have helped to elect are able to do the work that they've been elected to do. But I also don't want to turn the money away because I believe that environmentally we need to take care of this. And it's federal dollars. The chances of us, well, number one, we shouldn't have to put tribal dollars into it, right, when we can get the federal dollars. And two, the chances of that ever happening anytime soon are slim to none, because that will always take a back seat over something that we've got on the, you know, the front burner. So I'm not ready to, this is an area where I, listen, we could probably spend all day on this one. And mm-hmm. and should.
Well, where we're going to start is for 2.5 years, we've had $4.5 million that went to the Minerals Council to do well plugging. They hired field inspectors that went out, and we classified those wells as emergency or just wells to be plugged that have been abandoned. So we have a list of like 1,600 wells that came from the BIA that were classified as emergency wells, and that's where we'll start. That's the starting place. With that 4.5, they plugged 82 wells. And this also has a methane detection arm to it to stop the methane leaking even off of existing wells. We just had a drone survey company come in, and they're doing drone surveys looking for the undocumented wells. And they also have a detection where they can detect underground wells as well as methane. So that's already been started. That company also had this same grant funds, and so that's free of charge, which gives us $1 million that can be spent. That was our original plan, was to have the drone survey first. So that turned loose this $1 million to be applied to looking at all the remediation and restoration that we can do and make a plan to do that. So that's where that is. The goals of this grant, as far as how it's going to be, how it's going to service the nation, it's going to service wells on land owned by Osage Nation and Osage Nation members. So that's how the wells are classified. It's going to be how the wells are addressed in terms of emergency to health and safety and the environment and all of those criteria that we've been using for the last 4.5 million.
So can I respond a little bit to that, or is your line of question the same? Do you want to go? Okay. No, you go ahead. You go ahead, Congresswoman, and let me finish reading this, because I'm along the same lines with Speaker. And it's important, and it's so big that I'm trying to get my head around what this is going to look like.
Okay. So, Ms. Thomas. So I visited with Chairman Waller at length, and but I just want to talk, and I want to talk about that at the end, of course. They're having a meeting November 3rd, we're hopeful that a resolution will come out of that they I'll just go ahead, you know, that they will are in support of this appropriation. I believe that is the conversation that I had, that's his intent, is to say that they are they support this appropriation. And I hope that we get that resolution, because as well as all the time that I've sat here as a member of Congress, anything that dealt with Minerals Council, we usually have a resolution that comes along with any type of request. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the time when we have that, I believe it, most of the votes, if I'm not mistaken, you guys can correct me, because definitely knows I'm human being and I'm wrong at times, they've gone through unanimously when there's been support by resolution from our Minerals Council. Mr. Waller did say that I could say that he is in support of this, being of this, these funds being appropriated, and that he will work with the nation in whatever capacity needs to be worked with. He said that, not exactly verbatim, but that's what he said in our conversation. I was trying to read between the lines and understand where we got off track or why we got off track. So when you apply for this grant in your proposal, I noticed there's a lot of emergency type of words, you know, emergencies used. In visiting with Chief and then with Mr. Waller or Chairman Waller, I found some differing ideas about the importance of how the money's going to be applied. And we received two letters from Chief, which we all know that we, you know, he talked about how he's going to utilize what his plans are. And I didn't remember seeing anything emergency in any of his documents that came down that he sent to us. I could have read it wrong, but so what an emergency. So for me, that gave me pause, because in visiting with Chairman Waller, and alluding to back to Speaker Goodfox, what's deemed an emergency? Well, you know, that would be interesting to know. Secondly, you know, what if there's an emergency? I'm just going to say it, on Drummond Land. What if there's an environmental emergency on Drummond Land within our jurisdictional boundaries that is contaminating a waterway? It's hypothetical. Is that going to be at the top of the list? Because based on Chief Standing Bear's letter, that would not. And from what the documents that we've received. And so in your grant proposal, is it just for Osage Nation owned land, trust, and restricted? Or is it anywhere within our jurisdictional boundaries? And the reason I asked that is because I had those two conversations with Chairman Waller and then Chief Standing Bear. And then he sent the letter, of course, saying that this is how we're going to apply this. But then now I hear you saying we have to use emergency, which I don't recall seeing any of that in his letters. So I'm having some confusion. I need some clarity. You know, because environmentally, we can talk about money all day long, y'all. But if we don't take care of our land, I've sat here and said it, we don't take good enough care of our own land. And all of us, we're all, you know, you guys know how passionate I am about that, about taking care of what we have and making it better. And so that's my question to you is, you said emergency, but does that mean within our boundaries, or does that mean emergencies deemed emergencies on the three topics that Chief Sandiver spoke about, Osage Nation owned, restricted, and trust lands only?
That's where this is supposed to be applied, yes. And when we got the $4.5 million, well, originally it was $3 million, we had to define emergency. An emergency is a threat to the health, the safety, the welfare of the public, and the environment. And that's our formal definition. And in this letter that Chief sent about the $18 million on October 24th, during the implementation grant, which is at the bottom of page 2, it says, plug, remediate, and reclaim 290 high-priority orphan wells previously identified within the performance period on sites owned by Osage Nation or Osage Nation members. So he's referring to the list of emergency wells that we've already identified with the field inspectors through the use of the $3 million and the additional $1.5 million.
Okay, so are there any emergency wells that aren't Osage-owned on any Osage-owned land that would be considered public? And when you said public, did you, in your definition of emergency, did public mean the general public and population, or did it just mean the Osage Nation public? I'm just asking because that's one of the hairs that people are splitting in this conversation is why.
This grant is for Osage Nation tribal members and the Osage Nation owned land.
So that's where the hair splitting has happened. Some people feel that it should be, no matter the emergency, within our jurisdictional boundaries, it should be. But if you've defined it in another way, then that's what you've defined it as.
The $4.5 million was not restricted to Osage Nation-owned land and Osage tribal members. They could have used that $4.5 million, like in the example you're giving. Mm-hmm. Part of that $4.5 million was used early in the grant when they had that gas leak down at the school,
uh-huh.
And they had to plug that well down there. So that didn't have the restrictions that this has.
Okay. Can I continue one more thing? So... lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. So you're in charge, and it's coming through our multi-year funding agreement, and you're in charge of course, reporting back to the government. And so In the 4.5 million prior, the prior well plugging that we received, have you received all that you need from the Minerals Council to do your reporting efficiently?
Yes, we get invoices from them on a regular basis. They're approved by the chairman. They're approved by the geologist for payment because they're out in the field inspecting and seeing what work's been done and the vendors that are doing the plugging. And they send them to us, and we just send it on into the payroll and have everybody get paid.
And so it's been working out as far as your reporting goes, also it back has. To the federal government.
It has.
It's currently in place with the prior grant.
Right. And
but
we
this
do quarterly reports
yes.
to the federal government for that. And we also provide them with those reports. And we do, Amy does almost weekly reports as wells are plugged to, she has a running spreadsheet that she keeps and shows how much money's been spent, how much money's left, how much was on each well, how much was paid to each vendor. I mean, we track all of that information.
Right, and the only reason I was asking is because I was, like I said, trying to sometimes read between the lines of what's being said, and not by you, but just in my conversation that I've had, and I just felt like there was something hanging out there saying that you weren't getting what you were needing from the Minerals Council, but you've cleared that up, saying that you do, as far as reporting, have received everything that you need to, based on where you're at today from the prior monies that we received for well plugging.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to understand why you would change it from allowing them to operate the program to now changing it to DNR. And if it was because of a reporting issue, I could completely understand that. So I'm still trying to figure that, understand why the change is being made from the Minerals Council contracting to DNR contracting.
Well, DNR does remediation and restoration. And they do a much deeper level than what's been done with the orphan well plugging that we've had previously. They do some minimal site restoration, but they're not doing the real deeper level remediation and restoration of the environment.
Uh-huh.
And that's DNR's job. They're environmental specialists almost. And I have one on staff. And so they've had a phase two environmental review of the ranch, and now they're getting a plan on how to clean the ranch up for the feeder trust, and we could help implement some of those remediation and restoration on the ranch land to help them move forward with the trust application
with this money.
Yes.
And so because they're subject matter experts in the area of environmental remediation, restoration, repurposing, whereas the current contractors are more on a surface level and not on a subject matter expert level as helping to improve the well plugging in our environment and remediation and
Agreed.
Restoration.
That's correct.
That's one of the reasons why you want to have utilized our Department of Natural Resources, because we have subject matter experts that are employed
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily, and then they'll, okay. That helps clear me up a little bit. Thank you.
So at any time after that this money was sought after, which I'm glad to hear that we had two, you know, the executive branch and Minerals both thinking in the same mindset, we need this money. I totally agree that we need the money to, you know, protect our lands environmentally. So I totally agree with that. I think what's missing, what I'm hearing through all of this and dealing with watching this and other grants and other monies that come for the Minerals Council or on their behalf, what I'm seeing is just basic, maybe some lack of communication and like procedure and how things work. So say if the Minerals Council says, hey, we want to write a grant, you know, do they realize or are they aware what the procedure is, you know, and things of that nature? They're not really set up as we are, you know, with the committee base and things of that nature. But that if they do want to, that they can. And I would say, well, that's why they pay IDC, but they haven't really paid IDC in a minute. But back to the my point is that if they wanted to as an entity, the Minerals Council most certainly can apply for a grant. We only have one tax ID number, they're not going to be able to apply separately. It would go through the grants department, just as with anybody, as far as the grants go. But I see their concern. I would be the same if I were sitting on the Minerals Council myself, which I have in the past. I'd say, why is Candy's office managing a grant that I have oversight on? This is the mineral estate, because if you read in the Osage, in our law, we have to ensure that their authority is not by any means interfered with. We can't impede upon it. There's things that we cannot do with regards to the mineral estate. Now, DNR, I remember this, they were set in place. They have the authority to write regulations and things of that nature. And I'm really proud of our Department of Natural Resources, but at the same time, it sounds to me, because it keeps getting brought up, this conversation needs to happen with the Minerals Council. And I mean, like, laid out, we're all Osages here. I'm a shareholder, a landowner, have been, unfortunately, most of my life. And I'm going to just tell you what I'm seeing and hearing about the splitting of the hairs and the questions at hand is just a lack of communication. And it can change with each administration. We know that. So what I think should happen is that the right people sit down, and you don't do work in the dark. You got to come out into the light. You got to let everybody know what's going on. And I mean this when I say, if I sit there and I have a meeting with Speaker and Chief, then nobody else knows what was discussed. So the same too with the chair of the minerals with Chief. Let's have a day. We've done this before. Let's all sit down as a legislative body, Minerals Council and the executive branch and Treasury, because they had questions. I mean, how many months did they go? And their Mineral Council members weren't even provided their financials. And that blew my mind. I thought, there's no way if I were sitting on that Minerals Council that if I asked for financials, I didn't get it. That would not happen, Mr. McIntosh. I'd be like, I am an elected official and you give me those financials. But there seems to be a lot of procedural, there's some definitely some miscommunication. I know you know what I'm talking about. Candy, you've been here a long time. You've been dealing with these self-governance dollars for a long time. I think that, number one, I would like to see the agreement in place with the Minerals Council. You said you guys are working on an agreement. Could we get, how far along are you guys with the agreement?
We just got marching orders this week, so I don't have it this week. We may have it next week.
I'm not promising. You might have it tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I've had those same marching orders. You could also, I was thinking, what if we had the agreement committee and the resolution from the minerals? I'm fine with that. I'm just saying, and I hate that we're not able to, like, sit here with the minerals and have the, I haven't spoke to anybody on minerals about this. I've only talked to Miss Candy when it came down and the treasurer, but that's where I'm at, because I think it helps build that communication, is the agreement, which I think is smart of Chief Standing Bear to do with that entity. I think that's good, because they don't operate like we do with between legislative and executive. So I'm at, let's get the agreement in place and the resolution, and let's make this work that where everybody's in agreement as to how we address this issue on our lands, because it most certainly needs to be. Speaker, and then Congresswoman Stabler.
So I like that way of thinking. We can be here until with the extension till the 14th, and I'm willing to stay in until the 14th.
Me too.
And because we don't want to turn that money away, but I want my elected officials up there to be involved. to have a say, for them to be, and even if that just, you know, whatever it is that they work out with you all on that, is that is what it is. Maybe the MOU that they agree to, maybe I would have wanted to see more in it. I don't know. I'm just saying. But if they send out a majority vote, I'll stand with them on it, because that's the body that makes that decision. And so that's what I would like to see. I agree with Congresswoman Brevard. They're having a meeting, and I would suggest y'all work real hard to get on their agenda and get the MOU in place, and for them to have a resolution. Because I don't think that they want to send the money back either. I mean, I believe that everyone's thought process of wanting to take care of our land for the environmental reasons is admirable, and I think that that's where we're all at. But they are the Minerals Council.
Can I just point out that all the discussions with this grant and all the discussions with the $6 million worth of grants we applied for them for last year, six different projects, $6 million, that's all public. It's on the record. You can hear it on the recordings. I've been there almost every meeting in the last 7 months over this one grant, this TEDC grant, that they couldn't decide what they wanted to do about. And so we have communications with them. We've encouraged them to do a joint application with us and thought we were going down that road. And even their attorney advised them to do that. But 5 days before the grant was due, they decided they were going to submit their own. So as hard as we try, sometimes we're not successful, even though we're trying to communicate with them. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So.
Okay, Congresswoman Stabler, then Congresswoman Lemon.
So I agree. I wish we were all here in the room together to be able to discuss this. I think as shareholders, I'm with the rest of you that I need the Minerals Council involved in this. You mentioned a while ago, we talked about DNR and their role as environmentalists. Well, on the mineral side of it, then you mentioned, was it 1,600 wells that had been put on an emergency status through the BIA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you've got them. Mm-hmm. And theirs is, what is their vested interest in that? The vested interest comes from the Minerals Council. That's what we elect them for. And so I want to hear from them. I want to know what their opinion is. They may stand up here, because I've already had one or two of them, and say, we don't need to bother with that. Let them bother with that. But I still need somebody to say, do these wells really need to be plugged, or are they still viable? Because we certainly have gone down that road several times, too, where wells have been plugged that shouldn't have been plugged. So I think this has to be a team effort in order to be successful. And, of course, we're notorious for never going down that path, always. So I hope that everybody does try to attend. I hope members of this body would try to attend that meeting on Friday. I haven't been to those in a while, but they're very informative and gives you a good perception. So I'm not saying don't mitigate. I want the land mitigated. I also want the wells plugged that need to be plugged, but I want those viable wells working. And so that's my fear after having been an employee up there, to see that it all works out as a team effort.
Excuse me, this is Craig Walker, director over at Department of Natural Resources. I just want to add in that we've been communicating with Bill Lynn, the geologist for Minerals Council, as well as the BIA, as far as viability of these orphaned wells, how you calculate that out, as well as the determining of which ones are an emergency. So we are going through those talks and have been. Bill Lynn joined us last week with the drone company that did the flyovers for methane leakage, as well as the magnetometer flying to identify orphan wells that can't be found. So there is coordination that is going on. I think for the most part, me just speaking bluntly and my personal opinion is it's just where the dollars went. it seems to be is the major issue, but I'm pretty sure that everybody's on the same page of what needs to be done.
Well, and to that, and Craig, you're right on, but how I see these dollars is that they were submitted through a grant application. We were chosen, and I'm really proud of that for the amount of money as a nation, but you're exactly right. But to me, those dollars address the mineral estate issues. And I would love to see that the resolution coming through from the minerals is saying, we as a body, a minerals council, is saying that we'd like the Department of Natural Resources to manage this for us. That's what I would like to see. And I don't know that that's going to happen, but I'm saying that's the way that this was. You can shake your head no all you want, but I'm telling you, when we set up this constitution and this form of government, that's the intent. Now, where it is now is may not be where it is, but I'm telling you the intent of that document and the way for this to work is that Minerals Council addresses mineral issues. It was very straightforward. And this well plugging is a minerals issue. Now, I'm proud that we received the dollars, but we cannot just set that body aside. We can't set them aside because, you know, we just can't. And I'm really happy to hear from Craig that you're working close with them. I'm glad to hear that, Candy, your office is working close with them. Do they move as quick as I would like? No. I've worked in the same branch that you have. I know how they work. It's frustrating. They don't even have resolutions on the website.
Congresswoman, I don't disagree, and I definitely respect your opinion. I would argue that it's not only a mineral estate issue. I believe it's an environmental one as well, because these wells are orphaned for a reason, and the integrity of those wells are going to contaminate the environment. So,
and that's a mineral estate matter. And I agree. I disagree with you, sir. That's a mineral estate matter. And so... but I am at the point now, unless we have any other comments, then we just move on to the next section, which is the $18 million. Are you guys good? Okay. We're going to get there. I have hope in this government. We're going to communicate, and we're going to work together, and all our boards are going to be, everything's going to be beautiful. We're going to be the strongest nation because we communicate the best. That's my goal. Hope.
Can't give that up.
I know. Look at us going to this movie, and then we're sitting here happy to get $19 million to clean up all the scarring it did emotionally, physically, and on our lands. Isn't that amazing? Here we sit.
$90 million. That made it all the difference as to why we're having these arguments.
Yeah. All right, so the next section is, $18,414. That is the second section with regards to well plugging. Candy, I do apologize. We couldn't get to this at the end of the show, but I figured we'd come back in soon enough. The next section is the roads program. And so this appropriation request is being submitted as the projection budget, and it didn't include wages or fringe. Budgeted for a position that's necessary to complete upcoming transportation projects. And so it looks as though we're just addressing the wages and fringe. Looks like wages of fringe, a little bit of travel, training, professional fees, but the bottom line doesn't change. Any questions? Okay, then the next section will bypass section 30, which was the SSBCI. The next section will be section 31A, the Urban Agricultural Innovation Production for $300,000. This contains a little bit of salary, fringe, operation, and there's no IDC in this treasurer.
Which one is that?
But there are professional fees. The Urban Ag Innovation Production, it's $300,000, and it's one-time funding. And oh, it does say indirect costs are now allowable within this award. Okay. This funding aims to help the this helps out at Harvest Land. I just thought I'd tell you there's no IDC in here, sir. Okay. We can fix that if you want while we're in session. Heavy session. And then we have WIC, and this appropriation request was to correct an under projection of funding for the fiscal year 2024. So we're adjusting that appropriately. And then we have the other WIC. The WIC modernization. $770,872. The purpose of this funding was to support the planning and implementation of the projects focused on enhancements that improve the WIC participant experience. Anybody have any questions? I'm glad to see this, but this $770,000 is literally going straight for direct services, which I love. And that's all that I have in this bill. If you guys have any other questions. So, Speaker, you can now make your motion if you'd like.
I'd like to move to postpone ONCA 24-08 to the call of the chair.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, any opposed say no. Okay, thank you. Okay, if you guys are okay with 2408, we've postponed. Congressman Big Horse had to leave a little bit early for a doctor's appointment. And so I was wanting to go back up. Are you okay if we go to 2402? And this is an act to authorize and appropriate $1 million to the Osage Nation Property Improvement Fund and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. So, as you know, this is a property improvement fund, and the monies that come into that fund come out of the PIA, also some third-party commercial leasing and things of that nature. We talked about this last during session and multiple times, actually, but in that, I was going to ask you, Congresswoman Lemon, we didn't get around to the legislation that you were going to file with the regards to the property upstairs.
Yes, ma'am.
And so it sounds as though they're coming and saying, hey, this is what we need. They're asking for $1 million for property improvements. Casey, are you on the line?
His name's up there, but
Okay, well, let's move on then to ONCA, or do you guys want to make entertainment motion to postpone ONCA 24-02? Go to ONCA 2403.
Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
This is Casey. Y'all had me muted, so I had to hit *6 and I'd forgot about it.
Okay. I'll withdraw my motion.
I unmuted myself, but it wasn't working. I was like, what the heck? And then okay. I remembered that whoever the host was muted me. So anyway, okay. I'm here.
All right, good deal. We're talking about the PIF, and so in that I was talking to Congresswoman Lemon. We had talked about that legislation that we had appropriated money to the PIF for upstairs here, and we were going to address that last session, but we didn't get around to it.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I was thinking that would help you on your request, because we've got that, what was it, $500,000 at least earmarked.
Yes, ma'am.
Towards something that we're now not going to do. That I'm not saying it doesn't need to be done, but you may have other priorities. The bid was high. Okay. And
well, I had, Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
I had my development guys look at that upstairs to see what we could do, obviously with a lot less money, to ensure that everything was safe, you know, make sure it's good structurally and all that good stuff with some of that $500,000. So I'm waiting on a report from those guys to see, you know, how much, and I, you have to forgive me, I can't remember what the estimate for the full deal was. I know it was quite a bit over, it was over $1 million or around $1 million. But they're working on, you know, looking at what we could do up there to ensure, you know, everything is weatherized, safe, et cetera, as opposed to the full reno. So, you know, I figured we could use that $500,000 that's earmarked to do some of that. But as Congresswoman Lemon and I talked about, and as you know, that money goes mostly to, well, not mostly, but it goes to pay our taxes, which is around approximately $170,000 a year for the property taxes. Tyler can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a little bit of insurance money in there, and then repairs to all the different buildings that the nation owns.
That's Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. So, based on the comment that you just made about the $500,000 that was earmarked by this body to renovate the upstairs, you guys are going to start looking at securing safety issues upstairs. Therefore, we wouldn't want to repeal that particular piece of legislation at this point in time to change.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
No, ma'am. I didn't say that. We can use money that's there to ensure that that building is absolutely, you know, safe and everything like that. But it wouldn't, I doubt it'll go to $500,000. You know, most of the big cost was making it handicap accessible and different things like that, which I sent Congresswoman Rivard a short list of things that need to be done around the entire nation. And one of those things is making our buildings handicap accessible, the ones that aren't, you know, things like that. So that gets really expensive really quick. And if we had an upstairs down there because it's on fee, we'd be required to, you know, put in some handicap measures to get to a second level and things like that. So without a lot of that, you know, the safety concerns aren't, it's a pretty solid building. It's mostly that back wall we want to make sure is squared away, and then, you know, the roof. So it's, but I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you, I know how much that's going to be. So they're working on it, but I'd prefer that money be freed up for any number of things. I mean, it was 3 months ago, I think, the last time it rained. Mary down at Education called, we had to replace the roof down there, you know, and that's not something that, you know, you plan on. I had some issues down there at food distribution, so, you know, we used PIF money to fix the doors and different things like that. And we've just got, and believe it or not, small things start adding up really fast. So
okay, so you're
and we
saying
never
that...
can tell, and it's getting to be winter, so there's no telling what's going to break around here. It's just the way it is.
Okay, so you're saying that I can go ahead and repeal. I mean, I can file this legislation that I have to repeal it and to leave it in the property improvement fund.
Yes, ma'am. That would be my preference.
And the property income account, what was the balance on that? Because that's where this $1 million is coming from. Was it 1.4?
I have to give you the exact number. I want to say it's like $1,069,000, something like that.
Fund balance for the PIA account was showing $1,291,040.
Okay.
It ended last year at $419,000, accumulated $872,000 in funds throughout fiscal year 23.
So you're going to leave a little over $200,000 in there with this appropriation?
Close to, right at $391,000.
Okay.
So what's the balance of the PIF?
The current balance that they show on the PIF was fund balance at $711,710. So then you account for the $500,000 that's in there. There's roughly $200,000 available.
Okay. Oh, because the $500,000 is earmarked for here. I gotcha. Okay. And there's 1.2 in the property income account where the $1 million is being appropriated from to the property improvement fund. Okay.
So Casey, I have a question. So part of this fund I know is, you know, when we lease out our third party properties, right? And that money goes into those accounts. How many properties do we have right now on our books that we lease third party?
I don't have that information in front of me, Congresswoman. I'll get it for you.
I was just kind of curious how, you know, what that number would be.
I had it, I want to say, but I think I deleted it. So I'll have to, I'm looking for it right now.
And then I was just wondering, do you know how much that money that we, how much money we receive off the leases from our third party vendors?
Well, and remember, it's not just commercial stuff either. We have hunting leases and grazing leases on our fee land that goes into that as well. So it's not just buildings per se. It's we have other lease money.
That was I was going to ask you that the other. Ask you about the commercial, the buildings. Do you know, Tyler?
I don't have specific between that level of detail, what's commercial or not. But when I look at projecting property income, account revenue,